The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back. Plus, no payments for 90 days. And take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, listen.
Trying to give you a clean segue.
Adam's trying to give us a clean segue from the void of nothingness you heard mere moments ago. To somethingness, to manifestation.
Yes, ex nihilo, this podcast sprung into being.
And that brings us to another episode of One Upsmanship. Bling, bling. I'm Michael Swaim.
I'm Adam Ganser. I like that sound you just made with your mouth. Can we use it?
Bling, bling.
Thank you. Keep that.
It was like a cross between a Mario sound and a Sonic sound to not offend either tribe.
Just make a song, make our intro song made of that sound. Can we
no.
do it? No, please.
It can do it. Be done.
It's like vaudeville video game noise.
Who the fuck is that? Please introduce yourself.
I just walked in. I'm Vanessa Gritton. I just sat down.
You know,
I just
we're getting comfortable
I'm here.
With that here.
We yeah. have a big family here at Small Beans, so this will probably surprise you to know because we go around the dial before we like get back to guests, but you are the yeah. most frequent one-upsmanship guest.
By Yay! A wide margin.
By a wide margin, which yeah. still only means I think this is your fifth appearance. So, because we recorded yeah. in batches, so you
yeah.
did. Like you did New Vegas and Fallout 4, for example.
I'm honored.
You should have been, I wish we'd have gotten you for Red Dead 2. We were in a weird place when we recorded that, right? Like we were literally out in...
Yeah. Boise,
out in a different state. Man. But I would have liked to hear your take on that.
I was in a fun weird place when I was playing Red Dead 2 because it was like a week where I thought unemployment was going to be forever.
Yeah.
So I like really threw yeah. myself into it. So,
wait, didn't you have the glitch notebook?
What?
That was for Red Dead 1.
That was 1.
Oh, okay. So
that was Red Dead 1. So when I like got Red Dead 2, it was like the week that I was like, I'm never getting a job again, and I'm just going to sit in front of this TV and waste away, and then I just throw myself into it.
Unemployment is like wearing black glasses. You just cannot see past it until it's over. You just can't. It's real dark.
You can have like a trillion offers too, and it's just like nothing until it's signed. Everything is misery. Yes. I'm playing Red Dead 2 forever.
I don't believe in any hope until hope forces itself in front of my eyes.
So speaking of blinding hopeless misery, today we're covering Super Smash Brothers Ultimate.
Yay!
Yeah.
Which elicits just hopelessness and desperation in everyone who comes across it.
It does.
Much like unemployment.
If you're playing Jigglypuff, yeah, hot take, starting early.
Or if you're playing... endlessly because of severe unemployment.
Yeah.
Let's get off this tone and into a more chipper festive tone because I feel like Smash Brothers kind of demands it.
It really does.
A lot of people have been probably waiting a while for us to finally talk about Smash.
It's the most
other
healing.
Than Incineroar being ours now.
He's been ours for a long time.
Yes.
Now we're having a little spat.
Exactly.
Us and Incineroar. Briefly speaking, I think everyone deserves to know that this is the only game the three of us have all played together.
Yeah.
We played this game together. We had a fun evening
I see.
Where we all played the Smash Brothers Ultimate.
I remember. I got really, really stoned, and there's several moments where I couldn't figure out the little Switch controllers.
Sure couldn't.
Because it was my first time, like, really putting my hands on the Switch controller.
Were we using the paddle broken down to its tiniest form? Like, you were just using a little red thing?
I was using the little sliver.
Yeah, the chip. The controller chip.
Yeah. And I've got, like, these weird little flippy fingers, too, so I kept, like, touching the whole D-pad by, you know, the gross guys.
Bro, I was touching her whole
D-pad. Oh, that's right. You have the
bro.
Weird benders.
I got the weird bendy fingers.
People need, if you haven't heard prior episodes, Vanessa's fingers bend back in a grotesque way such that it's difficult for her to play video games.
That's right. And we saw it in action because you were struggling with those buttons, man.
It wasn't until I got the bigger controller that I, like, got comfortable again. But the amount of times where I'm like, I'm just pushing the whole D-pad.
I didn't put it together until just now.
I believe you still had a winninger record than me. I was like bottom rated that night or close.
No,
to
you came out with Dark Samus.
No,
blasting.
There was someone. No, I was at least fourth. I remember walking away burned, shamed. That's another thing is Smash Brothers brings out
a lot of competitiveness.
More competitiveness than your average fighting game, and I want to understand why.
Yeah.
In format, motherfuckers.
In
so
format.
I'm dragging us back to
That's
format.
Fair. Bling, bling.
Hey. Oh, all right.
Oh, I'm not allowed to have sound effects?
Me with the bling, bling.
Shit.
You with your own thing, okay?
All right.
Figure something out. That's,
I'm going to spend the whole rest of the episode on this.
I coined the word bling. Everyone knows that about me.
Bling.
Bling. That's how it's said.
Yeah.
Originally, yeah. It was scripted for David Schwimmer, but I took it back. Bling. As we pivot, Friends reference, to our first,
to our first
checkpoint. We passed a checkpoint, which in Smash Brothers is nothing. So let's just say we passed the checkpoint. And we do our first section called Speed Run.
Yeah.
We generally ask the guests to.
Mm.
Vanessa, would you mind describing, start the clock, Smash Brothers Ultimate as quickly as possible?
My God. The actual story, I think I've only played one time before I played everything else, but I'm pretty sure it has something to do where it's like, we took everything Souls, and now here's the dark version, and there's an evil hand. But yeah, the main point of Smash Brothers is that you kind of play the story the first time, one time through, just to unlock everything, and then you never go back to it again, and you only use it to humiliate your friends, or to just, like, main as Kirby forever. Anyway, that's what I use it for. This specific game has a lot of contention when it comes to, like, is this an item? Is using items valid in an actual match? Is using items not valid in a natural match? There's not a fighting game, I feel like, that has more opinions around it than Super Smash Brothers, and that's the quickest you could break it down, because you can't really... What else is there to say?
Stop that clock! Well done. Well played.
Yeah, everything... there's, like, a dark... The lights sucked
out. I thought the hand thing really covered it all.
Yeah, I literally played it one time.
Oh, yeah, there's a bad hand.
There's actually two evil hands. That's the
And
twist.
In this one, they added a crystalline butterfly and another thing, an evil version of that.
Like a twisted neon vortex bird.
Monster.
Yeah. A neon vortex bird and lyrics.
I love it's devolved to like
yes,
the
lyrics.
Final boss is just a shape.
Like right, it doesn't have a personality
shape.
At all.
Yeah.
Like, nothing you can latch onto at all about
I even forget its name, and I've just played this. But
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's how much nobody actually plays the story in any Smash game.
You say that. I put in 50 hours into that story,
because
it takes forever, and I still don't know any
this
of the names
particular
of
particular one. Yeah, let's race headlong through, much like the story mode of Smash Brothers for Vanessa, so we can get to that precious, precious Game On segment.
Yeah.
But I believe there's one more segment in between.
Yep.
So we pass a checkpoint and end up
Bling.
At the rants. Everyone is stepping on my fucking style, and it must end.
Ding.
That's my... Man, that's iterative, and you know it. It takes the soul of my concept and exploits it for commercial gain. Ding, ding.
It's every gremlin spinoff.
it's
no kidding.
My critters to your gremlins.
You're the mellow yellow critters go bots of this podcast. We'll go around the horn clockwise because I decided.
With the rants.
And since Vanessa gave us our speed run, she'll go last. which means I am the player one rant.
Ooh.
Player one rant, begin now. Ding, fling, bing, any derivation of bling bling with that note sequence belongs to me, now and in perpetuity throughout the known universe. I like Smash Brothers. I do think, I just like everything is for me, this episode is to get to Game On and just have a freewheeling conversation about a lot of aspects, but the things I'll just get out in the rant are that it has been the home of many like wild emotional highs and lows for me. I don't know what about it makes, I'm not normally competitive or even into fighting games that much. And when I do play fighting games, don't feel competitive about it. But Smash Brothers is like, for some reason, if someone demolishes you over and over and over, it's bad. It's like, it makes you feel like you are a failure at video games, or there's something about it that, like GoldenEye, everyone remembers exactly what the rule set that their group did and allowed, how everyone felt about, in Smash Brothers, for example, guarding the edge once you knock someone off.
Yeah.
Or different things like, I mean, because this game is played competitively in tournament style now. There's things like the jiggling controversy going on right now with Ice Climbers. Like, there's combos you can do that obviously the programmers didn't intend that are technically unstoppable if you just do it. So it's interesting. It's as far as anything in gaming can, I think Smash Brothers, because GoldenEye sort of died out as a franchise, is the closest thing to a professional sport. Like, if they were going to put a video game in the Olympics, I think it would be Smash Brothers. And we can argue very fiercely, I hope we do.
We will.
About which Smash Brothers. But
also whether that's really the most combative thing.
I just mean it is a lot. I don't care if you can think of a better, better example. It might be Halo. But, I just think it's interesting how Smash Brothers has transcended gaming to almost become like a sport, where you still just sit still. But I'll save everything else for Game On.
Mm.
Player two.
Yeah. I don't know that this Smash Brothers is like in any way better than like the second and on. I liked this one. I thought it was good. I liked the cast they had. I like that there's more. I'll never get tired of the fact that there's more. I like that it's more Nintendo in like inside baseball than any of the previous ones. I don't know that that makes it any better, because to me, there's a third man aspect to Smash Brothers where you play it for the first time, and like that is like a really defining, like your first run through of a Smash Brothers is a defining video game experience, and this is not that for me. If it's anybody's first Smash Brothers, they had a fantastic time, because it's a great game. There's nothing wrong with it. I think Smash Brothers might be the best entry-level video game of the fighting genre.
Yeah.
Because I've been thinking about it. I'm like, okay, so there's a bunch of different games in that genre, and none of them are as simple or intuitive.
Yeah, they're not as accessible.
Yes. And also, it's because it's drawing on so many video game franchises, everyone's welcome.
Yeah.
Like, this is the Marvel Cinematic Universe version of fighting games. And it was the first game like that, actually. So it has kind of a significant, it's significant in that way, that it's kind of an archive for at least all of Nintendo's history, but a little bit just other places' history now, too. Like, Crash Bandicoot's on this game now, and, like, fucking Solid Snake's on this game. Like, there's just a bunch of, like, really?
A lot of Pokemon entities.
Well, Pokemon's a Nintendo property, but, like, Cloud is on this game. There's, like, it's starting to become, like, just all video game characters.
There's a bit of a tradition. Soul Calibur had Yoda and Darth Vader and shit.
But not famous characters. Other video game characters.
Well, they had the guy from Tekken.
But yeah,
true, they had the guy from Tekken.
But it's much more
interesting.
Nintendo has gone much further afield.
Like, would it be that surprising to anybody here if, like, the next Smash Brothers has Master Chief in it?
No.
Or, like, has
Dr. Phil, dude.
Yeah, or has Nathan Drake.
I want an alternate yoga trainer character that's Dr. Phil. Yeah. Actually, asking Jigglypuff, how's that working out for you?
I'm going to finish my rant before I let you guys.
Please.
But these are things I think are interesting. The other thing that's really interesting to me about this game is the fact that it creates such a frenzy. like one of my favorite videos in 2018 period was when they announced this game at the Nintendo in New York. Like they have like a Nintendo store in New York. Yeah. And it was just like all 25-year-olds who lost their goddamn mind watching this game get announced. It's one of my favorite things because
it's pure joy.
It's so great. Yes. And it's also Nintendo has been having such a great comeback. And this to me is one of the big punches of that comeback. Just like, here we go, motherfuckers. It's Smash Brothers and it's really good and nobody was expecting it and it's awesome. So that part's cool. This is a game that's about being a Nintendo fanboy. So if you're not a Nintendo fanboy, I just kind of wonder if you love it as much as anybody who loves Nintendo does. I don't know the answer to that.
Although, as it has been pointed out, that teaser release video was essentially Mario coming upon two small children and just beating the shit out of them.
Yes, it was like a eyeless Mario out of cloaked context. In darkness, beating these squid children to death.
Someone who doesn't know what Nintendo is would be like, middle-aged man beating children.
Yeah.
Why is everyone so excited?
Hell yeah.
So when we get into the general conversation, I want to make sure that we have some conversation about how does this stack up to other fighting games for fighting mechanics.
Yeah.
Because I might argue it's better. I might argue it's better at but what fighting is about. No, I just want to see how you're going to come at me with this. Anyway, that's it for now. Also, Captain Falcon's the best.
I mean, we're going to have a conversation about that. We're definitely going to have a conversation Falcon. About that. I loved what you said about it being a comeback for Nintendo, because I have been bitter at most gaming media since the GameCube, because Melee was my first Smash. That was huge for me.
Yep.
And it was around that time that I remember like Time Magazine called the GameCube like an unmitigated disaster.
Sounds like something they would say.
That's not a controller that we still use to this day. But this current game, I loved watching all of the publicity up into it, like a lot of the videos up to it, because I didn't understand sports drafts for the longest time.
Oh.
Like why people would like watch a football draft or something like that and get excited. And then getting caught up in myself and like character after character being added. I'm like, oh, so this is what it's like when a player you really like comes onto your team.
We got ice climbers, motherfucker. Yeah. We got them.
Yeah, I found myself like running around my apartment like, Ripley's coming to the game.
Wait, is she? Ellen Ripley?
Ripley. Ridley.
Ridley.
Okay, because I was like, Ripley's.
Yeah, I said Ripley in my brain because I was literally just watching Aliens this morning.
Ripley was having a great day.
I'm having a great day.
Yeah.
I got very stoned and watched Aliens this morning. Ridley's coming to the game. But this specific one, it took me a second to get used to like the gameplay of when it came to adding like the cards and some of the element stuff, and it made it a little bit more confusing, even though I had played it for an eternity already. So I will say that had a little bit of a learning curve for it to me, but it is the most accessible of the ones out there. Like my brother doesn't understand the games that he is actively playing, but he can tell you, oh, Meta Knight was overpowered in Melee. Like these are ones where you can walk into a room and start a conversation about it, and every single person knows to jump in with, this is what my character is. This is the one I hate going up against.
Yep.
And of all the fighting games that I personally own, like Soul Calibur, Mortal Kombat, any of these, even just learning combinations is far more easy and intuitive.
Mm-hmm. And way less complicated.
And way less complicated, because even as someone that would like memorize combinations at an arcade, I still have trouble when I jump back into Soul Calibur remembering a lot of these combinations that would essentially make it easy for me to actually like just play the game in an enjoyable way and not just get murked over and over again. Although
love murked. Love it.
Like Swain was saying, there's a special bitterness that I get to this game when I keep getting dominated over and over again that I do not get with anything else.
Yep. You love it more.
I think it's because I love it more, because it's the same deal with Mario Kart, and these are the ones that I've actually like put thought into how to play it better.
It's interesting. I don't care if I lose a Mario Kart at all. It does for some reason.
It sticks
Smash
with me.
Brothers,
how many times you've been spiny shelled right when you're about to win?
Man, hundreds and hundreds. I mean, but to me, Mario Kart feels like literally a children's game. I don't know why Smash Brothers doesn't, but it's like,
it's a little more
who
violent.
Cares who wins? We're just playing bowls on the lawn, whereas Smash Brothers feels like serious business.
See, I don't even
to
think
determine
it's
who's better.
I don't even think it's a violent element either, because Mario Party makes me way more angry than any of these games.
The winner is essentially random.
Yes.
Based on, like, there's a number, too many randomized factors in that game.
I think the reason for Smash is I feel like there's a cap where once you get to like a certain level of good, it's like a One Punch Man scenario where it's like there's no more competition for either of us here. What are we even doing here?
Yeah.
Because there's been people in my life where they're like so good at it, it just kind of kills any joy in us playing, because it's like, we know how this is going to end. It's going to end the way it always ends.
You're going to nest bat me out into the fucking moon.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Brakes? We can save you 15% on that. We have OE quality Duralast brake pads and rotors in stock, ready for pickup or delivery. We also have calipers, brake fluid, tools, and anything else you'll need to do the job right. When you get Duralast pads and rotors together, you'll save 15%. It's just part of what makes us America's number one brakes destination.
Congratulations.
I'm calling it. Checkpoint, game on. Continue.
Does anybody think this is not the best fighting game series?
Wait, as a series? Yeah. You're talking about
as a franchise.
Ultimate in terms of... Well, first, what's everyone's peak? Yours is Melee?
Yeah.
I think mine is Melee, but Abe would want me to transmit to the audience that if he were here, the only things he would say are that edgeguarding is bullshit and that Brawl is the only worthwhile one to play, and you have to play no items and do the one-on-one dance. That's all.
Sure.
That Smash Brothers is.
That's like GoldenEye. Yeah. You have to play with slappers only, or one shot, or License to Kill. Right. It's everybody's got a lineup. I also prefer Melee, but that's because it was the first one I played.
I think
this game is objectively better.
I was heavily into Brawl, but I just think Melee still continued the improvement trajectory, and then after that they started getting floatier and floatier, and that's what everyone talks about, is like
100%.
You have there's a certain level of floatiness in the physics, because the fundamental difference between this fighting game and all other fighting games is that because they, I think, didn't want to even imply that these characters knock each other unconscious, the only way to lose is to disappear, to like go out of frame.
That's
unique about this game.
Yeah,
and I think because of that, they were like, so floatiness has to be an aspect of the physics.
Yeah.
No other fighting game. Like, fighting games are very grounded on the ground, and like the combos are like, like tight, and
it's punching meat.
It feels, I would call it a fully unique fighting game. It doesn't feel like any other fighting game at all, so I don't know how to compare it.
So
Soul Calibur is my favorite fighting game series, generally,
if I just had
to pick one.
I've been thinking about this. So, like, I mean, I think Street Fighter II, you have to say, is that's probably mecha.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably number one.
In terms of popularizing the genre, yeah.
Yeah, nobody it wasn't
but
a household genre.
But if you go back
genre.
And try to play it now, it is clunky like old games are. It's pretty dated.
Yeah, you can still play it. I played it a while back. Maybe
I played
it
back to
version.
Back with Mortal Kombat 11, and it's like,
well,
we've come a long way, baby, in terms of responsiveness and smoothness and things.
I think Street Fighter II represents a moment where fighting games had to diverge. So, like, some games went into the combo zone where it's, like, Tekken, right? Where it's, like, yeah, super combo, where you just have to, like, it's about lacing punches and kicks together in the right order.
Yeah, like Vanessa said, a memorized sequence. Yeah.
Exactly. That's what most fighting games are about now.
Yeah.
Including Mortal Kombat. Yeah, Mortal Kombat 11 is more that than any of
That's
the Mortal Kombat.
I like Soul Calibur because even though it has that, I feel like it had a different episode.
But no, but that's good.
It has the dual component where it also invented stepping around always beats a vertical attack, horizontal attacks always lose to a vertical attack, and vertical attacks always lose to being stepped around or whatever.
Even
they
if
created
you don't know
a rock,
that.
Paper, scissors element that makes it like you're continuously combos like my main is Ivy in Soul Calibur, and I agree.
My main is Ivy too!
If you haven't played for a while and you go back, you're like, I want to stab through the ground and the thing comes up. What the fuck is that again? And what's great about Smash Brothers is there's none of that. And that's they obviously want to make it as accessible as possible. And it worked. That is delightful that you can sit down and go, well, it's every character has an up type special move, a right, a left, and a down. And you play a new character and you're like, let me fuck around for 10 seconds. Okay, I see.
Yeah. I see how they work.
Yeah. Anybody could jump in and start going in. The only time they get confused is when they're just like, what the fuck is that floating around the screen? And it's like, well, oh, you have to punch that? And then something big happens.
That's the other aspect that is, I actually don't think this game, well, as someone who, so it's highly competitive. A lot of people seem to agree, or a lot of gamers I know agree with the sensation that we have where it's like, that is a game where I get butthurt if I lose too thoroughly over and over and over. It is like frustrating.
Why do you think?
That's what I'm. I don't know exactly why, but
I got some opinions.
Oh, nice!
I want to
hear those after. If I could wrap up just the
yeah, you bet.
The thought would. Oh, it might be gone. No, it's that. I think a glaring weak spot in the game that people don't really like to talk about is so in that type of game is. It feels real. It feels like it's actually judging skill or who sank the most hours into getting good at this. Therefore, the fact that if you add even 3 or 4 players or turn on any items, I think the amount of chaos and randomness that infests sort of the purity, to use Abe's phrase, of the test of skill is way off the charts. Like almost every item fucks with the game so much that I understand why most people end up doing one-on-one matches with no items. Because it's like, every time I'm trying to figure out what is a useful strategy, a tomato hits me in the head in the middle of a jump and I just randomly fall and they grab me.
Yeah.
It's bullshit.
Where bees can be an element of the game. Or
and they keep getting more and more and more to where it's
I hate the bees. Yeah, oh boy.
Not the bees.
And that's why I guess I don't feel that competitive in Mario Kart, because you can't really turn off items unless they have that mode and I'm not aware. And Spiky Shell feels like, oh, well, this game is designed to keep tension high so that the person in back always gets the best items. Therefore, I'm not going to take that seriously if there's a big upset, because the game is designed to encourage upsets. Whereas Smash Brothers feels like if you turn off all the items, 2 man enter, 1 man leave, who's better at
it's
Smash
funny you say that, because literally every fighting game is exactly that. I think the items and the floatiness...
Until you add tons of items and shit.
Right, but that's one of Nintendo's things, right, is that they're not afraid to make the game arbitrary. And like no other game system really does that with those genres, and they both are massively successful with people because of it. And I don't know why.
Yeah, I would say other fighting games try to pretend that, look, we know this is going to be used in a tournament context. There have to be rules, like a sport. It has to be streamlined.
Yeah.
Things can't be overpowered, or if they are, we have to fix it and find balance.
Aware
and shit.
Of it.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to touch on was, in terms of like the combo thing that we were talking about, it really does feel the most like an extension of skill, to where if you don't actually know the combo, you can jump in and be like, this is this arm, this is this arm, this is this arm. Like, we're even without knowing combos, you can actually hold your own pretty well. If
for sure,
if you like have an idea of like a tactical fighting style that you want to go in, but the floatiness is something I have noticed get more and more light and airy over time, because I remember with Melee.
I thought Ultimate was pulled back slightly a step from the last iteration. Do you agree?
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree.
I'm like, I feel like they reversed course back to a better direction.
Melee, I flew off like a bag of laundry.
Yeah.
And as it got progressively floatier, it was like kicking a feather on a sidewalk where it... I couldn't quite
like
figure out where I was ever going to land.
The beginning of Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Meta Knight would just like feather around.
One thing I noticed about the competition aspect is, it's really infuriating when you keep getting murked by the same person. But I've also noticed there's this level where someone is so good, it's almost like this King Midas kind of misery.
Yeah.
Where they can't really find anyone willing to play with them anymore. I've met like a few of these folks where they've gotten to a level of good where they can't really, unless they play online, have an enjoyable game with someone else. And it's not even like they're trying to be like, I'm going to constantly murk you. It's like, just please play with me. But everyone has such an adverse reaction to getting murked by the same person over and over that they just shut off. So they're just these lonely wanderers on the internet.
These Ronin. Well,
just
these,
Ronin.
These Smash Brothers Ronin.
Also, I feel like that does come from what Adam was talking about with Nintendo having... They just want it to be fun. So, like, in other fighting games, if everyone was like, you know, Voldo is way overpowered, they'd go, yeah, that's a problem. We'll try and correct that through a DLC, or we'll fix it for the next iteration. I feel like Nintendo's attitude, because this happens with the different iterations, that through tournament play, people churn millions of these rounds, and everyone will figure out, oh, in this iteration of Smash Brothers, Captain Falcon's inarguably the best because you can do this and it's slightly overpowered statistically versus everyone else.
Yeah.
And Nintendo won't be like, oh, we're sorry. They'll be like, then play with Captain Falcon if that's the most fun. When you get bored of that, play as someone else. We
Why don't you
care.
Try Kirby?
They do a little bit of patch rebalance.
A little bit, but they seem less obsessive about it.
Yeah.
And they're way more willing. They don't treat it like it's on a pedestal. They're like, no. This time we threw in all these fucking spirit cards and, you know, at one point someone was like, what about a giant dog CG that blocks the screen? And you're like, why the fuck not? And it's like other fighting games
so
I
angry.
Feel like would be like, because that breaks the formula. But Nintendo doesn't care as much. And I think because of that, there is a level of exploitative play that can work. So like I alluded to the jiggling thing, which is a current technique. Someone discovered that if you separate the two ice climbers and do this particular thing, there's like a zero frame reaction. It's literally physically, you cannot get out of it as long as the person's executing it successfully over and over. And people are like, we shouldn't be allowed to do that. And I just think the fact that exploits can be discovered in the ecosystem of Melee or of Smash makes it, that there's such a wide swing of skill that people who play it, quote, professionally, cannot even interact with them in the game. It's not worth either of your time.
Smash Ronin.
It's not fun for... It's Smash Ronin!
It's like the tradition in Chinese film of fighters whose chi is so high that they haven't fought in 50 years because they're like, there's just no one that's worthy to fight. It breaks my heart. You know, I wander around looking for someone worthy to fight me.
When I took my one semester of Taekwondo in college, which I did, the instructor gave that lesson that you get, I think, at the beginning of every martial arts class about the man who became an 8th degree black belt.
Yeah.
And every year at the park, he was like a robber would come and like try to beat him up, and then like he'd get his ass kicked every single time. And then finally, when he achieved his 8th degree of black belt, the robber shows up again and he's like, take my money, sir. It's better that you have my money than what I would do to you if you attacked me. That's what these Smash Brothers Ronin need to become.
Then the robbers,
they need to become these enlightened men
robber,
giving their
Pikachu.
Smash away.
Honest, like, Lex was so good at Smash, it came to a point where he'd be like, do you want to play? And then I would just get like this sad, hello. He won
when we were playing.
He was number one that night.
We're still friends.
Yeah.
But I gave him the switch in the breakup because I was like, you know why I'm giving you this. Like, there's been enough.
You won it.
Yeah, we won
some
it.
Good times.
You shamed it off of me.
We've had some good times, but also I know this is in the peasant hands if it stays with me. Like, it's not going to reach its full potential with me.
Yeah. These aren't a Smash player's hands.
These aren't a Smash player's
hands. These is farmer's hands. Get out of my store.
This is the soft hands of a woman that's going to play Psychonauts for the 5th time instead of, like, shaming myself on Smash, knowing, like, I'm never going to get to that level. So, like, I was just like, take this. And he was like, I'm positive it deserves to be with you.
If Adam
don't put stipulations. Don't you dare
put
stipulations.
If you don't want to finish Psychonauts, Vanessa can guest host that episode.
No, you're not kicking me off the podcast.
Well, I was like,
under any circumstances.
It's my favorite game. I've been trying to cover it forever. And he's like, I think I'm almost done with it. And hasn't even been in the milkman's head.
What?
I'm like, no, you're not even close, dude.
That's
I'm not taking shame right now for this game. That's not happening.
I mean,
like, I'm just letting you know that's not happening.
Yeah.
Not even game. In the milkman's head. That's barely skimming the surface.
Oh, skimming. You're only like 2% in.
Let's you guys, why don't you give each other high fives for a little while? Go ahead and give each other some high fives. I'll watch you.
Look, I'm doing it.
So it basically but yeah, it's did you have more concrete theories about why all gamers recognize that being trounced in Smash is especially humiliating?
I do.
Go. Yeah.
So,
I want to hear
them. So what do we viscerally enjoy about fighting games? Like, why do we like them so much? It's competition. That's number one.
It varies slightly from game to game. Like in Mortal Kombat, in the later iterations, it's doing the right sequence just to see the animation of the crazy gore.
And like, look at all the fucking shit I did to
and
you,
Marvel
bro.
And Marvel vs. Capcom, same deal. It's just filling that bar because I want to see Spider-Man do his ultra Spider-Man move.
Yeah, and then Soul Calibur is just like technical brain. It's not even so much competition for me. It's just how much technicality can I put into this?
Yeah.
See, I would argue, and I'm sure people are going to disagree with
me. Soul Calibur, linking as long as you can.
I would argue that Smash Brothers delivers the fundamental experience of a fight game better because the reward for a great punch in Smash Brothers is to knock your opponent the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
Like at a like you're hitting a home run. You're literally hitting a home run when you
with
like knock
person.
Somebody off.
Especially if you're
with
mass.
A human being.
Yeah.
You're hitting them out of the park and it happens so fast and it's so like overwhelming.
Push.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also,
and that's such a good feeling. Every time you knock a person off, it's like, yes, I fucking did that to you. It's so good.
Isn't the implication of Master Hand that there's a very fancy child playing with these dolls?
Yeah.
I mean, I assume because he wears gloves.
A dapper
it's the
child.
Way he doesn't want his dolls to get, they're in mint condition.
Yeah.
But I love that.
Even Crazy Hand's fine, like doesn't
mix his
off.
Gamer gloves with his sandwich gloves.
Oh, that's right. There's also a mentally ill hand in this game.
Yeah, he's very silly.
Yeah,
you didn't play with Silly Hand? Or what? Crazy Hand.
Crazy Hand.
Oh, I didn't know. I was just like, oh, that's the party hand.
We're all making spider hands with our hands. People.
Yeah, you're watching me do it, but it's not really helping anything.
Crazy hand, you know?
Yeah, crazy hand.
The James McAvoy hand.
Yeah,
that can
he really
play
is.
Lots
I mean, I feel
different.
Like if anybody could do crazy hand.
Oh my God, stop it.
It's gross.
She, like, literally, when she was giving Mike high fives, her arm just undulated. Like, it was like made of jello.
I'm a pool noodle.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah,
I
are.
Think the visceral experience of knocking somebody out is more rewarding than any other thing other than a fatality in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
That's the most rewarding thing there is.
But the majority of Mortal Kombat, like you said, matches end with you strike them, and because their bar is complete, they start wobbling on their feet.
And they give you a chance.
That is way viscerally less immediate endorphin rush than I touched you, so you disappear.
Yeah.
I landed
instantly.
my move just the right time, and you're out.
Soul Calibur's also, they just kind of fall over.
I do also have a theory.
Okay.
Because I also, when I think of fighting games, I also think about the watching element. Because most fighting games, it's not, sometimes it's just you and one person. Other times, like when we played it, it's a whole party.
Yeah.
And when it comes to like Mortal Kombat, that's one where like a couple people watch if they like really want to see like the gory fatalities, like you were mentioning. Soul Calibur and a lot of these other games, I feel like unless you're really into fighting games, they're not as fun to watch while you're on standby while waiting to play.
Yeah.
Smash Brothers, even if you don't play a fighting game, is so fun to watch.
Yeah.
Both the fighting style and the actual people that are fighting, that you're not really thinking about, I'm not playing a game. You're thinking, oh, we're all in this. We're all watching this. It has the fun of like, watching a Karate Kid type fight where it's like, oh, everything's kind of silly and a little bit more for all of us as opposed to like watching Rocky where it's like that guy's getting murked, and the chaos element of the items. Word.
Yeah. That's
makes it
good.
So much more engaging for somebody on the outside to be like, oh, tag me in next.
It is designed to be watched. Because unlike the other games you mentioned, those games you're tighter to the fighter, right? So you're literally immersed more.
You're just on the actual fighter.
Yes, this game you're on the level, which is the thing as an audience we're trained to observe games like Donkey Kong or like the original Mario Brothers and like sort of watch and go, oh man, you're gonna miss that barrel. Oh shit, you're gonna get that coin.
Yeah.
Like we're trained to absorb it as spectators. And this game's designed visually like that.
And I know based on copy and advertising around these games historically and a couple interviews with Nintendo people, that's one of the core things that they see as innovative, which is funny because it is innovative, and I realize it's not in other fighting games, but you don't even notice. It's so natural, is that they introduced light platforming to fighting.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's the only fighting game where suddenly there's a bullet bill, you have to dodge it, or there's consequences. Other fighting games will have items that cause areas to become electrified or whatever, but this actually has segments, especially, you know, like the boat level where you're on the magic cart or the boat at the beginning.
Yeah.
And it's like, you have to do a little Mario level or you'll get left behind and lose, then continue fighting.
Or the racing ones where it's just like...
I would argue it actually evens the playing field a little bit.
It's a huge improvement, but it is different.
Yeah.
It's true that that's unlike other fighting games.
Like everything else, it's part of their...
I don't know if I like that about it.
I do. Like everything else, it's part of their heritage,
right? My group always ultimately ended up playing Hyrule Castle because it has the least platforming elements, no items one-on-one. And that's just the environment in which I was raised.
Okay.
So it's what I know.
Oh, we were a big Yoshi Island group.
Well, okay, so the fact that they introduced platforming, one, is part of the archival history of this game, which is the second most important thing about it.
Yeah.
The first is that it's fun. The second is that it's a Nintendo archive. The second thing is that platforming means that it's harder for somebody to dominate another person because an element of chaos resets the dynamic a little bit, which is exactly what it does in Mario Kart 2, right? Like, you get better items when you're further back in that, like when you're closer to 8th or 12th or whatever, you get the star and you get the spiny shell. So Nintendo will throw chaotic elements to sort of even the playing field out so that you don't get dominated.
Yeah.
And I think that makes people want to play it more also.
And ironically, then they play it so much that no amount of programming can overcome how dominant they become at the game. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's the King Midas thing.
Yeah.
It's walking around realizing that everything you touch turns to KO'd.
Yeah. Well, it's any of these games like Fortnite. It actually is inspirational in a way. And sad because it has some aspects of addiction, but I do think it's inspirational whenever you're like, I think the free solo guy's stupid and I wouldn't do that, but it's impressive the human body can do that.
Yeah.
It's impressive that these games like Fortnite and Smash and GoldenEye that have a moment of being the Beatles of gaming, or like everyone's doing it, you necessarily end up with a pool of people who treat it like a job and become so skilled that it's like a magic trick.
That's true.
Anything taken to an ultimate degree becomes like, well, that's pretty impressive just on a raw level of being extreme. I didn't think you could be that good at Smash Brothers, but lots of people are.
Yeah.
Because at this point, hundreds of people have spent thousands and thousands of hours.
Of course.
Doing
and it. Yet, it's the opposite experience of being amazing at Fortnite. Or like some other game like that, where those people aren't sad.
Mm-hmm.
They're not Ronin, like without a master. Whereas Smash Brothers, it is social.
And screaming.
Right, it is social. So like when you get good enough at Smash Brothers, you've lost the thing you loved.
Yeah.
You loved it too much, and therefore you lost it. Like, that's not true of the dick that's good at Fortnite.
Exactly.
You have to have a friend who's just as dedicated in this keeping up with your growth as a Smash player.
And then just marry that fucking person. Just like, get in there and do it.
Like, it's weird, but I remember when I, like, started dating again, my mom being like, find somebody on, like, your same kind of schedule and your same wavelength. And I didn't think that in my head I'd also be like, I should probably also make sure that I look out for someone that I can, like, enjoy a fighting game with.
Who was his main, usually?
It didn't matter. Like, his main was...
Incineroar.
It was... No, on the most recent one, it was Kirby, just to make a point.
Kirby's great.
See, you need a chic player, I think, in your next partner. Just look for a chic player.
The thing is, it truly didn't matter
who he was. Right there.
He could be like Wii Fitness Trainer.
Yeah.
And I can like pick something overpowered and we'll just make it the craziest level, tons of items, something constantly shifting.
Nothing could help.
And the amount of times where I'm like, I've touched my controller twice. I tried to jump out of the way and then...
So I think that's another thing is all fighting games run afoul of this, but a very frustrating thing I think for any gamer is a long sequence where you feel like you're not doing any input that affects anything in the game. And I would say that's actually a knock against Smash is you will get caught in... There's something also uniquely frustrating about like, a bumper appeared in space from nowhere, right behind where I was just being thrown. So now they're just hitting me bumper, and there's literally nothing I can do for 4 seconds. Those 4 seconds are like, why do I even play this game?
they are eternal. They are a kind of nihilistic eternity.
Dude, let me stand up. Dude, just let me stand up, okay? No, we'll fight. You can win. Just let me fucking stand
just
up
let me
for a
stand.
Second.
Just let me move. Just let me throw one Pokeball just to feel like I had a chance at any point.
Goldeen. And you're like, fuck.
Yep.
That was my one Pokeball.
At the amount of times where I'd be like, man, I'm going to throw this Pokeball and it's going to be a thing where I can at least get to the side and maybe grab like a fire flower or something.
My life would be on track.
And then it's just like, it's a Wobbuffet. It's just
Pokemon's
a,
fucking dumb.
It's just a
just
because
of that. Yeah, just because of that.
It's just a shit. It's just a human shit inside the Pokeball. Why?
It's like the Pokemon phenomenon in Smash Ultimate is just a slot machine.
The Pokemon phenomenon. How I imagine it would be if a human actually fell into a relationship with a mermaid where it's just like, it doesn't work. It doesn't line up. It's never going to happen.
I mean, even Shape of Water didn't convince me it could work. Did you see Shape of Water?
I did see Shape of Water. I mean, she did open up her hands and then make
she a did a
pokey.
Whole thing. Yeah, yeah. It was.
Yeah, she signed Cloaca.
Yeah.
I thought there was a sheath.
Yeah.
I thought she was sort of a groin pouch.
Cooking
her own eggs, and he was going to become impregnated by eating all of her eggs.
Oh, yeah, that's how.
Like reverse fish birth situation.
I like your explanation/bit better than anything about that movie. So I wish that was what it was.
The lighting and costume design and hair and makeup was all pretty on point.
It was fine. It was good.
The story was really boring to me.
Didn't care.
That's not what this is about.
No, this is about...
I want to spend a little time talking about Ultimate, specifically in relation to just all of the ones.
Simon Belmont, finally, Castlevania's back!
So, very clearly, Ultimate is called Ultimate, I think, in deference to the fact that they were like, what if we, by definition, included everything that's ever been included in any Smash Brothers?
Which
and that was our angle this time.
Yeah.
But not every Smash Brothers has always done that retroactively.
Really? I thought it was always an expansion.
Is it in, but even every mode? Like, I don't know. I do think there's an ultimate, there's an ultimateness about Ultimate.
For sure.
It is by far the largest compendium. So, because it's a game that everyone views positively, and I think we all do as well, I'm going to start with my knocks, which are...
Yeah.
I actually did think there's a point where you can have too many characters that have the same moves that feel like filler, like for the sake of thoroughness. And then thoroughness with no meaning is weird to me. So, for example, I collected like every card, and this card system was complex and immersive. All these... like trading souls and saving up to buy other souls, spending time sensitive, like sending some of your card characters into the mine to get more card characters and soul points. It never seemed to affect the game enough to carry its own weight as a system. And then at the end of the day, I was like, the point of this is the joy of archival.
Yeah.
And there were dozens and dozens and dozens of cards that I was like, I wonder what that is.
Right.
And there was no way to find out. I was like, the least they could do is have two sentences about what that is. Like, what is that?
It's the Destiny problem, right?
Hundreds of
just
the cards, I would be like, that's,
it's exactly the Destiny problem.
That's, that's an 8-pixel drawing of, like, a guy doing the thumbs up.
What does that
commemorate to you? What is that? Yeah.
I mean, I think they assume either you already care or that you'll Google it, right? I mean, like, and I don't know if that's a true assumption.
Sure. There were some I literally Googled and never found it. And it's like, it must be a game they made in Japanese arcades before they even, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, but also, I don't want to Google.
I don't.
I want it in the same place. And that's, I think that would have been a really nice element as well to be like, hey, this is this giant homage we did to our entire library. Why not tell me what it is? Then I can actually form like more of an actual connection to it and be like, cool, I'm actually really learning something about like this entire like gaming history that I didn't know about.
Link me to that Excel spreadsheet that you're definitely keeping.
Yeah, exactly.
Can we do that?
Yeah. I'm going to go on record and say I hated the card system.
Hated.
The whole map. The story mode is pretty endlessly interminable. And
it
yet
does
I remember
go on and on.
While
yeah.
I was doing it, I was appreciative that because I don't have a bunch of, like, I do. I'm not good enough at Smash to play with other humans, and I get upset.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, good. There's a lot of content for me to, like, hone my skills through
yeah.
before I have to go out and play with my friends. So I appreciate it was long, so maybe I'm being, like, uncharitable. But in retrospect, I'm like, it was so long, though.
It was really long.
So long.
It was so yeah. long, and it was so overcomplicated. And usually when I play the story of a fighting game, I very much think of it as, like, Dread. Just, like, fighting my way through levels. Just, mm-hmm. all right, this is the next boss, and this is the next boss, and so on and so forth. And then it either just auto-loads or kind of like Brawl, where it's just, like, you move, like, a game piece
yes.
yeah. forward slowly. And once it added more elements, I was like, I have other games to do that for me. This is just putting more time in me just wanting to just hammer through the way I do with a fighting game. And the yeah. card element almost took away some of the accessibility of it for me.
See, I think it's interesting because every game is now under the burden to be a game you play forever.
Yeah.
And that's how Smash Brothers chose to solve that problem.
Yeah.
You know, and like, I think all of us, because we're old, are going to say, just don't be a game you play forever. Just, you know what I mean? Like, let me yeah. pay $60 and not have a 70-hour solo campaign.
Versus, like...
But they're going to be like, dude, no.
Yeah.
We have to do this. How else are you going to buy the DLC?
Yeah.
Like, will you buy Banjo-Kazooie? I know. It's brutal. Here's another way I knew I was old. I was like, there's about three too many Pokemon characters in the fighting roster. Like, and I know I'm yeah. old. I get it. And I missed Pokemon. Yeah. But there's so many. And
I agree.
Like, I just think, like...
And Fire Emblem is too much, too.
Yeah, I just feel like those things are... Like, if you have one or two major representatives, you did it.
Yeah.
And, like, I would rather see other games or yeah. just other ideas incorporated. Like, a Contra guy.
And because...
Or anything, you know,
people,
like,
because of that skill broad range we talked about, like, yes, I'm sure there's plenty of people out there who, when I say this... are going to respond correctly. I could kick your ass with that character.
Of course.
But Greninja sure. felt like such a fucking shitty
no
addition,
thanks.
For example.
Pass.
Yeah, yeah.
Even Incineroar, who fights for us now, I could have done without, yeah. you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, there's like six, maybe there's like four Pokemon. They're like, sure. You know, Pikachu, yes, I get it. Jigglypuff,
yeah.
I get it. Charizard and Charmander and like that whole, the trio.
But Pichu,
sure,
Raichu.
Mewtwo, I get it.
Pichu was another one where I was just kind of like, Pichu is basically Pikachu, but you hurt yourself.
Well, but that's also,
dumb.
They have this yeah. weird tradition of like Link and Young Link. They add
get
random
that
characters
too.
That are yeah. just lighter and weaker and faster, though,
yeah.
than the big one.
I am not, to me, it's like Link should be... A skin. Young Link and like middle Link.
But you don't think they
yeah. should
be different
a skin.
Weights
no.
and speeds?
Why should they?
No, because I think there's other characters for that.
Yeah.
There are other
yeah.
characters for different yeah. weights and speeds. And
I would miss Falco, but
yeah.
I get the
yeah. I like Falco is such an asshole.
And who's the fucking blonde version of Ness?
Oh, Lucas?
Yeah.
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 Ghost.
I didn't
eat
see.
A
yeah,
throat.
That's just more. Again, that's just more of the same game.
Yeah.
Shulk.
Like, I don't mind that they reskin fighting types. Like, I don't mind that Ganondorf and Captain Falcon are basically
yeah.
the same. I'm fine with that.
But when
Ganondorf
it's in the same
in
universe,
the yeah.
it feels like I'm yeah. just getting the same thing in Groucho Marx classes.
Yeah, I
yes.
don't want.
We get
that.
A fair bit of that. But I think, to be fair, on the other side, Ultimate, they did also, as Nintendo often does, they weren't scared to innovate with new. There were a lot of characters that fucked with the rhythm and the pacing and the way.
For sure.
Like,
Villager.
Little Mac, Villager.
Yep.
Like, they added a lot of...
Ryu and Ken, anyone?
Yeah.
Yeah
that was cool.
They had
that
a lot
really
of characters
dope.
Who have Duck Hunt, who have unique ways of yeah. interacting with the game.
Duck
Pac-Man.
Hunt was fascinating.
So they're not scared to do that. Yeah, I like that they'll add characters where you're like, you don't even interact with the world in the way the other characters do. Mm-hmm. Can you win? Yeah.
I thought Cloud was hard to play with.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that seemed just challenging.
Ridley
to me.
Did seem like the most
love
of
Ridley.
All the new people where I could just dive in and like own with
Simon
Ridley
Belmont.
Seems
yeah.
very good.
Simon,
yeah,
Belmont
Simon
was really
and Richter
good.
Were good.
Yeah.
I thought Pac-Man was fucking great.
You
way better
Pac-Man.
Than I expected Pac-Man to be.
Ridley and Pac-Man were an absolute blast.
Yeah.
Villager was a fun one to figure out why are you good. Because the
yeah.
first time I played Villager, I was like, a lot of these attacks feel kind of frivolous and silly. And then it took me a second to realize, like, oh, long range and being very strategic about where my enemy was going to fall.
And planting
and,
the tree at the right time.
Planting
times.
The tree yeah. at the right time. I started really liking playing as Villager whenever I wanted to, like, put more of a thought element into something. whenever I wanted to like pull away from some of the mindless stuff and think more about like.
The Villager is a thought.
I've never played enough Villager to think of that. Yeah,
it's very much like trap setting. Like,
oh,
what I like to
set traps. Yeah, it makes sense.
Thought set traps. I can't do bling bling. Window shutdown noise.
That's acceptable.
Blue loo loo loo.
You'll be getting a cease and desist from my legal counsel.
But yeah, like Villager felt like when I was playing the trap-based parts of BioShock, where it was like really thinking about what my enemy's style was like, where it's like, oh, they really like high kicks. They're going to fall in this area at this point. I'm going to plant the tree here and then launch it.
Yeah.
I love Villager.
So also, just because I have the access to the Google box
and you guys don't...
The Crash Bandicoot thing is an unsubstantiated rumor so far.
No. They released a trailer for it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, everything people I was lost finding mind. Was people yeah. saying they weren't sure. But the one
oh, no,
that,
I'm sorry. I meant Banjo-Kazooie. Yeah.
That's what
know.
I was going to say is yeah. just to get nerd rage to quell. I think you meant Banjo-Kazooie.
Yes.
Because that's been confirmed, which is yeah. exciting to me. I got to say, I'm very disappointed. I haven't checked in with this game in a little bit.
Persona 5.
When I just heard Joker, I thought it was the Joker. It's some random
it's
character from a property I don't give a shit about.
Persona 5.
Yeah, okay.
It's, that's a... So, I...
Sense8, that's the same thing,
this may
right?
sound yeah. dumb, but, like, I feel like Smash Brothers Ultimate teeters on the edge of a new question about this game.
Yeah.
Which is what...
Teetering on the edge of teetering, a new question.
Well, does this game need to be about Nintendo, or does it need to be about all video games?
Yeah.
To make another one.
Well, Marvel v. Capcom... I guess that's only two worlds, but they're large worlds.
Yeah.
Like they push that. They followed this model. I think they're an interesting touchstone only because very traditional fighting game. Probably, I would say, the most plentiful form of fighting game, which are those cell animated left and right fighting yeah. games like Capcom v. Marvel.
Yeah. Like Street Fighter.
That you would see in every arcade
yeah.
ever forever. Does anyone remember the one that, well, Eternal Champions? No, that's... Eternal Champions was good, but there was one of these animated ones where it was like nightmare type characters. There was a zombie who could turn his ribcage into a chainsaw.
I remember oh. that.
It does.
If you're listening, please remind me because I want to play that game. I
it's
remember
driving me
it.
Nuts that I can't remember what it was because it was very much like we know what skins we want. We just need some things that aren't IPs.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, but I feel like Capcom v. Marvel followed this trend of like by the end they had 80 some characters. And I think I would love to see Nintendo do that. But then, as someone who does care about world building and story, I guess I'd just be completely giving up on, like... Because I wouldn't want them to try to make sense of it. Like, if Tony Soprano is going to be... I would think yeah. it was hilarious if Tony Soprano was available in the next fighting game. But don't try to explain how. Don't explain why.
I don't think they're doing that now.
His special move is killing Big Pussy, and you're like, why? Why? My own. You only hurt yourself, Tony.
It's eating a sandwich and getting really angry and sulky. Yeah. So
ducks come, and he strips naked and looks happy.
His special move is summoning Melfi.
Yeah. So, I mean, Smash Brothers doesn't need context, right? Like,
no.
It's already past the point where it's a game universe that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well past that point.
But they keep trying. Like, I forget the names of the good and evil shapes in this, but there was beautifully CG'd sequences
yeah.
that tried to make it a broad, generic story about
this
the nature
world.
Of good
right,
versus
right.
evil.
Right, right.
And, like... But they made specific plot choices, which I even thought they would just stay symbolic. Like,
yeah.
darkness is here, let's beat it. But instead they were like, no, this rain came and stole everyone's souls. Kirby alone got away. Then this happened. And I'm like, don't try to give it like a plot,
yeah.
plot, please.
I would say they didn't really. I mean, like, sure,
yeah,
those
good.
Things happened.
I'm concerned about the trajectory. That's
no,
all.
I don't. I was frustrated that the song had words. It was like that alone
that
was
made
too
me
much.
Lose my mind.
I didn't like it. Yeah,
because
I wasn't a fan.
The amount of times where I like loading up Smash Brothers and then going to my kitchen and making a snack and
yeah.
walking around my apartment and then the tune's playing and it's exciting. But when there's lyrics, that's
then you're listening
to
a song.
It feels like it's happening at me.
Yep. I didn't like the song either.
No, I didn't. The vocals, the lyrics, all of it. It was very much gilding the lily in that the flower dies.
Yeah. Agreed.
It was the Wild Wild West effect, song effect.
I even the MCU and like Capcom versus Marvel still chooses to exclude certain things. Like, for instance, Superman's not in Capcom versus Marvel.
Yeah.
Or Batman. Those are two big...
Well, They're DC.
Right. That's what I'm getting at, is that like there are excluded properties. And I'm asking the question, should Smash Brothers become the video game fight game?
And that's why I picked Tony Soprano, because I think he's a good example of like, well, not every franchise. No, there's stuff that would ruin it.
But that's not a video game character.
Can we
I would say Master Chief, Nathan Drake.
Okay, so specifically video game characters?
Nathan Drake is already in a fighting game. He's in Sony's fighting game.
Right, that's the thing. Do we want that? Well, that's what we want?
Soul Calibur went into film franchises, which I think is interesting. Yeah. Like, Darth Vader is an interesting inclusion.
I think that's a really cool pivot.
Darth Vader could be in Smash Brothers. Yeah. That would be fine.
So, okay, I was trying to get you to open it up a little, because I would say my absolute, and I was actually just about to ask if we could each have one, my... like, franchise that hasn't been touched, Smash Brothers character would be Wile E. Coyote. All of his moves would be so awesome.
Oh, my God.
I think he'd be perfect for Smash.
Anvil down, rocket up, roller skates forward.
Yep. Yep.
My head immediately was like, logic.
Yeah, just an accordion body. It's just like one of the things that happens to him, yeah. Bugs Bunny, that franchise is woefully underrepresented in games now that
Marvin the Martian could work as a Smash.
Oh, definitely Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, Bugs Bunny.
I mean, come on. Smash. You know? At what point
would you guys bring in?
I'd bring in a Xenomorph.
Isn't Ridley kind of that?
Alien? That puts a really dark undertone to this game.
I mean, I feel like Ridley itself would.
Metroid's pretty playful still.
But you were cool with Darth Vader.
Darth Vader's
turned his back on his son, man. His face got burned by lava.
Darth Vader is now more of a meme than he is a character.
I see.
To me. He's in so many things.
Even then, Cloud's in it, and the Final Fantasy series also gets really sad. Yeah. Like there's characters that have died and don't come back.
Well, Anna, the whole thing is about, or like, if I understand it at all correctly. Yeah, I mean, Sephiroth's like...
Don't say it all, because I'm playing the game right now.
No, this is in the beginning.
All right.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just saying the general theme is there's, like, it deals with sociopathic, godlike characters grieving their mothers through some psychosexual shit. Like, it's not Smash Brothers friendly at all.
Yeah. The entire franchise itself isn't really that Smash Brothers friendly. There's a lot of, like, little pieces in it that are actually, like, from pretty dark gaming series, which is why I feel like a Xenomorph would work, because it's, like, little mouth guy forward, and like it's more of like a heavier than like a flying guy. Like, I feel
it would
like
have some kind of go up in the vents and disappear for a second.
Yeah,
yeah.
Some like a stealth combined with like a reach element, and also because I feel like I really like these mid-sized characters that aren't quite like Bowser heavy or Kirby small. And I feel like we have way more heavies and way more smalls than we have a lot of mid-sized.
Like Link-sized,
Falcon-sized. And I feel like a Xenomorph is like a good mid-size.
I was a big King K. Rool fan in this installment, though.
I loved King K. Rool. King K. Rool was fun. Yeah.
Unconventional body moves.
Yeah.
You never know what he's going to do. It's like you don't know what he's doing.
He's shockingly fast for something that heavy.
He's designed visually like a Donkey Kong or something, but he's actually as fast as the mid-range characters.
Yeah, it's true.
I also liked how Bowser Jr. every skin was like a different.
That was a good decision. See, that's what they should have done with all the Pokemon. Yeah.
That's what I felt like too. And like, it's interesting that you brought up bringing in other games, because when I think of the Sony game and bringing in any of those entities, it doesn't really feel as fun.
Yep.
And I think that's also because the Sony game itself is like all of the characters in it are from a certain stretch of Sony gaming.
Agreed.
Where it went from like the cartoony era of Sony, where you had like your Spyros and your Sly Coopers, and it ended right when it started becoming
Sly's Cooper.
And it ends like right when things got real with like Nathan Drake and Kratos and God of War.
Kratos
is like the most non-cartoony character in it.
I want to see Kratos just pick Kirby up and just like bite into his head and blood runs down.
Well, you could see Kratos
and
just
Kratos
murk
is
that
like,
princess.
I don't even want to be doing this. I'm conflicted about it. Boy, kill Jigglypuff.
Boy,
yes, father.
Don't sass me, Kirby.
Yeah. But I would have said all the same things about Snake. Why the fuck is Snake?
Snake is a
there?
Weird
yeah.
addition.
And
I
yet,
agree.
If they just insist for enough iterations.
He's very silly, though.
I would say you get over it. If they're just like, we're not giving up on Snake, sorry, he's gonna be here. Eventually you're like, fine, Snake is here.
I got
like
the
box. You get over it.
I think there's a lot of some rich territory from other older games. Like Rayman could easily be in Smash Brothers. Or Kid Chameleon could easily be in Smash Brothers.
Oh yes. That would be a fun mechanic.
That's the kind of stuff I don't mind Nintendo brushing like into the fold.
The
Dig Dug guy fucking injecting Kirby and blowing him up till he pops would be fun.
Yeah, I think there we go. See Battletoads? I think Battletoads could be in Smash Brothers, and that would be fun.
It took me so long to realize Battletoads is just the mellow yellow GoBots of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. Also not a good game.
It's sadly a letdown, though, to realize that.
But the turtles with all four skins would feel
could do it.
It would feel right for the direction that they're going in, where it's like you get a turtle and you can either be like Mikey or Donatello. That would make sense.
Yeah, Ninja Turtles could be in it. You get Splinter.
I feel like
the trickiest, I think, is bipedal humans with normal body dimensions. Like even the Fire Emblem people work because they're based on an anime world. So they have big eyes and stuff, and they kind of fit with your Kirby's and your Donkey's Kong. But, man, anytime I'm like, what about such and such game where the hero is just, like, a human woman? That's what feels weird.
It is. See, I have
one
more.
But we have Wii Fit Trainer.
That's my favorite, though, because it's so stupid. It's such a stupid thing.
It is very stupid, but that is literally just a human woman.
And it has no face.
Yeah, it's like a ghost creepy woman. Like a floating ghost woman.
Oh, and the other skin is a dude. It can go can go either way.
Briefly, would you be opposed to but would you be opposed to including Simpsons in this game?
Not at all.
Here's why.
Here's why I wouldn't be opposed to putting the Simpsons in, and also why the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles work. Is I feel like most of the characters that work and are picked for Super Smash Brothers have a certain arcade/video store element.
Agreed.
It has a certain looking at your wall of your video store, looking at the arcade, and and seeing these characters that have become like iconic to this era.
Yep.
So even if they're like slightly out of it, they're still related in a certain way. So that's why I feel like the Turtles would work, the Simpsons would work, any of the characters from Rampage would work.
The Rampage characters.
That's like a totally specific heavy.
Primal
and then you go,
Rage, if you want to go do more honor to your video game roots.
Yeah.
What's the name of that game that's on the Sega selection that's like you?
Sonic the Hedgehog.
No. Sonic's included, by the way.
That's why I'm against it, by the way, from Mario.
I think
it's dangerous for Bart Simpson and Sonic the Hedgehog to ever exist in the same world because it would be too rude and radical. Things would just fall apart.
No, I think what would happen is we'd realize Sonic's not that fast and he's not that rude.
Well, then
Bart Simpson would skate his ass right around him.
But if we're building on that, then you could just throw Cartman in there.
Yeah.
I don't want
Cartman. But see, South Park doesn't share the same emotional real estate in video games.
Neither the way the Simpsons do.
Correct.
And the reason
that game was huge.
Yeah, and the reason when you go into Smash and there's a cohesiveness to everything is right down to the levels, but the actual games, it feels like walking through an arcade. As opposed to other games where it's just like, this is a collection of our entities. Smash Brothers is basically a love letter to arcade gaming. And
the first two generations of console games.
Yeah.
I want them to add that robot with the Wolverine claws that was on the cover of every Killer Instinct game. He was like the only he was the only cool character on Killer Instinct.
Yeah. Super combo.
Yeah. Like it taps into a very certain specific character place. It's that video store arcade place. It's not as opposed to everything else where like Soul Calibur, it makes sense when it goes into movies because that's where it's coming from, or Capcom, where like we're mining from comics. It's where are they mining these IPs from?
Yeah.
And Nintendo makes the most sense when it's, well, we've been around since the beginning, so why not mine from what else has been around from the beginning?
And
Lord of the Rings.
It works.
Yeah.
So I can see Gollum.
So I think then
the rules are really less about Nintendo going forward and more about an era.
Yeah.
Like a certain 10 to 15 year window or 20 year window in video games.
Yeah. It almost has to step back away from current a little.
Like Qbert could be in this game. But BioShock
can't. But see,
I
don't think that is what they're doing. They're keeping it rolling. Like, I don't think they think of it as retro. They're going to keep that nostalgia window up with the game as it goes forward. like Bayonetta is not
Bayonetta,
super
that's
nostalgic.
A weird inclusion.
They're gonna keep
or
including
the Squid Kids.
More modern things.
Yeah.
Splatoon,
Breath of the Wild Link was in this game. Yeah.
It's very much like what is the zeitgeist of gaming right now?
I don't think it's only a nostalgia tour though. It's also trying to keep up and continue to move forward.
I agree, but I feel like it's gonna lean increasingly like that nostalgia thing is gonna become incontrovertible for them.
Well, it like already certain, is. Yeah, I think they're beyond that point. But they can do both. Like, they can add new, you know, modern references.
They have to have an IP that actually belongs.
Yeah.
Which they do. But, like, that's the thing is, like, if it's not a Mario or a Zelda, will it belong?
Arthur from the Arthur cartoon. Fighting Caillou.
I will beat the shit out of
Caillou. Why is Blanca not in this game, by the way?
Tony Soprano.
From Street Fighter 2. Why is Blanca not in the game? He could have been in the game.
Blanca easily could have been
and
in the game.
And Bison
well,
could have been in the game, too.
Any Street Fighter, then.
But I those mean, are the iconic ones.
No, Dalsim is the iconic
no!
Street Fighter.
No! Guile. Get out of here.
Guile is the one on the cover of Street Fighter
Guile
2,
should have been
anyway.
In it, yeah. Guile should have been in it instead of Ken. Right?
But Ken and Ryu became the iconic faces of the franchise. Because
they're the first ones, Because
they're the skins that you also look to when you're parodying it. Like, if you look at, like, playing the Scott Pilgrim game, there's a lot of moments where it's like, oh, this person is, like, clearly a Ken skin.
I think it's literally also because, in large part, the Hadouken is a simple-to-do move that became the first special move most fighting gamers ever learned. And it became the iconic fighting game move is down, down, right. Punch.
It did.
And
yet and the,
everyone's
and
like,
the punch was almost impossible
and
to
that's
do.
Ryu's move, so they associate it with him, so he wins. Yeah. But Ryu's fucking boring. Well, it's like
I think he's fun to play with.
We're playing Mortal Kombat and talking about how who's the guy who's just Bruce Lee? Liu Kang. You're like, he's kind of boring. It's funny that they feel compelled he has to be the main character.
I mean, let's save that because we're going to talk about it, but Liu Kang is infuriating.
Who would you say is the main character of Smash? Is it Kirby?
It's Mario.
It's Mario.
Even though
he's the Mickey Mouse of
I've
the operation.
Kirby seems to get a lot of camera time throughout the entire franchise in all of the interstitial, like in the cutscenes.
Because I feel like
is
Kirby,
it because he's easy to animate?
It's not because he's easy to animate. I feel like it's because Kirby is the one you show where it's like anyone can play this. When you show a literal pink ball with no ankles and no feet still holding its own, it makes it less scary to be like, oh, I can even be the cute one and still do pretty well.
Kirby definitely is. Beginners who want to survive and smash buttons and get the feel for things, Kirby's
just
a strong
float
choice.
Around for a
he's also
bit.
Literally the character that can steal everybody else. He's Shang Tsung.
Yeah.
He's Shang Tsung for fucking Smash Brothers.
Or the Kid Chameleon, for that matter.
Exactly.
Yeah. Kirby is the one you display first to get new players more integrated into the game and feel like it's like it's like, oh, I can hold my own even if I'm Kirby or Peach or any of these things.
And yet, how many Kirby games have you purchased in your life?
Shockingly, like four.
Four?
Oh my
the original
God, Kirby's
that is
Dream
three
Land
more than I have ever thought of purchasing in my life.
Dreamland is very fun.
Yeah, Kirby's Dreamland is super fun. Well, hardest character to control, like most intimidating for a beginner. For me, I think Snake's got to be up there.
Yeah, he's bad to use
to give throw to a beginner.
Yeah,
I think Cloud is another. I keep Cloud harping
is tough
on
to
Cloud.
Control.
He's not great.
I'm gonna
Sonic's
say
tough to control. Actually,
I was gonna say Sonic.
So fast, yeah.
Sonic is
he's
one that's
so fast.
He's so fast and he's so light that so if fast. You're someone that hasn't learned how to like dodge or like kind of position yourself to not get knocked out so easily, Sonic is a hard one to maneuver. Man, it's
I'm
like he's just
think.
Designed to go really fast.
Yeah.
Speaking
it's like
of
that.
So fast, time passes so fast when you're chatting about Smash Brothers, doesn't
it? Sure
it
sure does.
But I think we got to wrap it up.
Which one of us would win in a Smash Brothers game?
Are we digitized into versions of ourselves?
No, we're just playing the game as human beings.
I like the direction
you
went.
I like what you decided.
He went like a writing
prompt. Fighting as characters within the universe of the game.
That is an interesting question.
Or I was like, did you just mean who would win in a physical fight if we started throwing punches at each other right now?
Neither of those are reasonable options.
Oh, man. I'm like a spider monkey. I feel like I'd be able to
always said
just scratchy and climby.
You're slowly turning into a fan. Fantastic Four character for me.
I just meant your general aroma when I've always said that.
Yeah, I smell. I smell like I live
like
in trees.
A spider monkey.
Yeah, just
smell wise.
Scratchy and climby and screechy. But man, I feel like in an actual having played with you guys, I'm going to say.
Ooh, she's doing it. I see it.
I know it's not me.
Not with those rubber fingers.
It's got to be Anna Marie. Wouldn't
it's
have
Adam.
Asked, right?
It's not. Adam.
It's no. You won. Remember, you won the tournament when we played.
No.
It was Kevin. Kevin then
won.
You were two.
Kevin won for sure.
Kevin.
Then Griffin
demolished us.
I may I have been third. Griffin. I think I was third.
Griffin was not there.
Griffin was not there.
No,
I know.
I've never met him.
I know. I was happy.
Literally never met this man.
I was happy to be. I was happy to compete. But
sure
I know
were.
I was
sure
not anywhere close to the top. I was happy to play against anyone that wasn't Kevin. Anytime it was
fair.
Like, cool.
Poor Kevin. He's
cool
getting
Adam,
some...
Cool Adam. It's because he's just
so overpowered.
Yeah, you're
the one who added him by name. We were calling him
she just
her
said
ex.
No, he deserves to know he's the Meta Knight of Smash players.
He was a wonderfully fun person to play with in this game, by the way.
Because he's also like such
fun.
A good sport
yeah,
the whole
really
time
is.
Where he's just like... Oh, no, look, you're getting better. You're lasting longer. And it's like, thank you for humoring what's
not true. He beat the living
true.
Shit out of me with Dark Samus, and I still liked him. So that says a lot about
yeah,
him.
It's the mo- yeah, it's the most charming person to be too good at something.
Yeah, yeah.
But I will say, I think it might be out of the three of us, I think it's you.
I'd like the audience to answer the question, if we were digitized into the game as characters, who would win that fight? That's, yeah, and what
I
would the moves
the more
be?
Interesting answers are what would our moves be? Also.
Yeah, what would the moves be? Yeah. I want to hear that.
All right, final checkpoint. And that brings us to our final segment, which we call Keep or Delete.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a Gagillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I got
to
change the oil in my car.
Right now, get 5 quarts of Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99.
What do I do with my old oil?
We can recycle your used oil for free.
And do you have oil for my old work truck?
You can find the right high mileage oil to help it go farther right here at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Which are like final thoughts.
Yeah.
Roundup. And then it's nice if you say whether you would keep or delete this game from like some sort of celestial hard drive
plane
of good games that has great taste about it.
Yeah.
Please guess first.
All right. I feel like Smash, like Mario Kart, is the pantry staple of a gaming collection.
Agreed.
When I worked in gaming resale, it was out of everything that we got resold to us, I almost never saw a Smash or a Mario Kart
come back.
Almost never.
Yeah.
It's why even when it's used, the price is still pretty high, around 40 or 40 to 50.
Yep.
Because it's one of the few buy it for life type games. It's, well, you're over. Ooh, I have this game. We can jump into this. I almost never saw them come back. It feels almost sacrilegious to sell them because it's like having sugar or salt in your kitchen. You just kind of have to have them.
Yeah, it's not a kitchen without it. What are you doing in there?
Exactly.
Get
it's like you don't
there
have anything to cook with. What are you doing? And
so
it's,
well, a lot
it's
of our listeners don't have a Nintendo system, but with that exception aside, agreed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like if you have a Nintendo system, it's
you
almost
must have it.
You have them.
And in fact, it has driven the sales of more more than one system. Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's arguably the reason people buy Nintendo systems.
It's the reason why many of them do.
Yeah, exactly.
They have
like
four gaming pillars. Like, this is one of them.
Oh, there's going to be a new Zelda and a new Smash. That's all I need to know. I'll buy that system.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. So for me, it's a forever keep. As long as I have a Nintendo, I'm going to have this game.
Okay.
I delete it because this is specifically in reference to Ultimate, and I remain a Melee guy.
I delete it because of Melee also.
I think Melee is the sveltest version. I like the number of characters it had and the amount of physics it had.
Yeah, I think Melee is the more innovative and more important of the Smash Brothers. That's an arguable point, but yeah. I'm willing to live with it. I don't think all Smash Brothers should be canonized.
Well, now that it's going to go on forever,
this one should.
I'd almost want to wait and see
what's the best one.
Because I'm like, this one is just more of the trends it's been going in. So I'm like, all right, let's see five from now.
Here's my argument for why this
is going to have 250 characters or what?
Melee is the best of like two, three games after it. This one is the one that bridged two different generations. And I think that's why this one stays. Because,
and not Melee?
I mean, Melee's always going to stay.
So you're keeping two.
Melee is something for me that's like, this is my perfect one. This is the one I grew up with. But Ultimate is the one where it bridges like everyone me up and everyone me down in our age groups. Where it's like, there's something for everyone.
I agree with that.
Like my 9-year-old niece and like an older relative can both jump in and be like, these are ones that I know. And this is the first one to bridge such a wide swath of age groups.
Yeah. I want to give it credit for that. But I also feel like, because they just added a million characters. Like, the game itself is not really different.
I find this Ultimate system's kind of clunky and stuff, yeah.
The cards are the things that...
See, the cards are fine. Yeah. Who cares? Yeah. I don't mind that. It's
for me.
It just wasn't my favorite entry in the whole series. Personally.
Yeah, the game itself is clean and simple enough, and you can do every version of it you want to do.
Mm.
But I don't think it says... I don't think it matters as much as Melee, maybe just because of history.
I think there is such a thing as less is more in being selective.
I agree with that.
I won't give... It always dings you when you're like, this is just the compendium installment where we added everything that's ever been.
Correct.
I'm like, okay, well, I kind of wanted a slightly more curated than that.
But briefly,
it's nice to have the version that has everything.
I don't want to like waste too much time. Do you want Smash Brothers to be different than this?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if I do.
It's not my favorite fighting series, as I said.
Wow.
Soul Calibur would be it.
Yeah. See, I think they can't. I mean, they can marginally improve it. I don't think they could take it in a new direction.
Yeah.
That seems like, no, they're not going to do
that. I'm a very emotional person, so that feeling of being burned, literally, I don't like it. So I don't play Smash Brothers that much. Because I don't want to put my neck out. I don't want to risk feeling that feeling. I don't like that feeling.
Interesting.
That's why I don't play most games where it's versus each other. Yeah. I like co-op.
Interesting.
They should add Brad Dourif from Myst in the next Smash Brothers.
Myst is really back in the zeitgeist right now.
It just got an option for film. Movie, I'm excited about that.
Yeah. I am not.
Abduction was great.
Okay. I just,
their newest game.
Yeah.
All right. How about Brad Dourif, but like Child's Play as a character?
How about Brad Dourif from Deadwood? Just make a game around that.
And Smash Brothers?
Oh, yeah, why not? Yeah. He comes out, God damn it, I'll tell you. You know, he just lectures your character out into space. You know?
You press B to shoot Pikachu, and he's like, my talents, such as they are, cannot function at this remove. You're like, all right, well, we're going to lose then, Brad Dourif.
But he could knock Swearingen right the fuck out of there.
Did it please you, God, when Jigglypuff's body rotted in the fields? Did the stench reach your eyes?
God, I'm so glad I set this joke up for you. You really smashed it.
I love everything Brad Dourif. And that's the note we'll go out on.
Jingle, jingle.
You nailed it.
Fleep-a-deep-deep.
The students become the bling bling. Vanessa, thank you so much for joining us. Can you plug things, please?
Yeah. If you have cable and now on iTunes, every Thursday I'm on El Rey Nation, a show on El Rey Network. It's 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 Pacific. It's my baby. I have a lot of creative freedom on that show, so I get to really like dive into why certain genres are beloved or like really interesting trends. So I love that. And also check out my sketch team, Night Church, on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, whatever it may be. I've never tasted so much fake blood in my whole life.
Damn.
There was no blood mouth in the Matrix sketch, was there?
No, because I was that. There's no blood mouth in the Matrix. But that was one where I was just like, 1 week, I want to not clean something out of my hair. So gotcha. that was one where I'm like, I just want to walk in and walk out as I am.
Yeah.
We all got lines.
Yep.
We all got
boundaries.
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Adam, final thoughts?
No. I don't. We did it.
Work complete.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Are you looking to build this year? If so, there is no better time than right now to start planning and to get your spot on the construction schedule. If you need a garage, a stall barn, a storage for vehicles, RV, boat, collectibles, or even a shop for your farm, hobbies, or car restoration projects, visit MortonBuildings.com and start your construction process. With superior materials, craftsmanship, best-in-class warranty, Morton Buildings are made to last for generations. At Morton, the difference is in the details. From their cutting-edge innovations to their craftsmen in the field, they are dedicated to surpassing expectations. Their legacy of excellence spans more than 120 years, and Morton Buildings is 100% employee-owned with more than 250,000 satisfied customers. That means they're the industry leader you can trust. When you choose Morton, you'll experience quality at every step of the building process, starting before the walls even go up. Visit MortonBuildings.com to get started today.
You've probably heard a lot about electrified vehicles lately. Well, Toyota has electrified options for every lifestyle. We've got hybrids, no plug needed.
All right, let's go.
But we also have plug-in hybrids, if that's your thing. You can even go 100% electric in the Toyota BZ4X. With so many options for reducing carbon emissions, Toyota is electrified, diversified. Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.